go down to verse 19 tonight. I think you know the story well. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted his dream. He wanted to know what his dream was, and he wanted to have it interpreted, and he gave some strong demands about that. Let's go down to verse 19. Look at Daniel here. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Aren't you glad God's in control? Amen. Verse 23:2. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee. Now notice he's already blessed the Lord, but notice this phrase. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Now look at verse 28. I've always loved the first phrase of verse 28. But there is a God in heaven. Don't you believe that tonight? Amen. There is a God in heaven. Thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are God and you are in heaven and you do hear and answer prayer. Guide and direct us in our thoughts tonight, Lord, and apply it in the hearts of the people, Lord, as you will. And just give us your help and power to hear tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel gives us world history here in this chapter. And the amazing thing is, I say world history, he actually was giving prophecy about world history, which now is world history. What David talked about, Daniel, I'm going to get it right before we're done. What Daniel talked about here is now in the history books. Okay, so he was, Nebuchadnezzar had this disturbing dream, and God showed him this statue, and God gave him the gold and the brass and the silver. And I'm not getting into all that tonight, by the way. Let me just say this about it. So his dream foretold empires. The gold represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom of Babylon, which would fall. That's probably Iraq today. The silver represented Persia, which is probably Iran today. Then it represented, the brass represented Greece and Alexander the Great. The iron represented the Roman Empire. So all of this that he's talking about, though, has already happened. Aren't you glad our Bible's true? Amen. The Bible prophecy has already been done at this point. Now, a lot of what Daniel taught us has not been done yet. In fact, the stone is the empire of, the kingdom of God, which is still yet future and eternal. The others are going to rise and fall. God's forevermore. Amen? But these other things happened the way Daniel told them. He said more about it in chapter 7. And then, of course, Daniel gives a lot of future things. But I think it's just amazing that the stuff that David said was going to happen has already happened. World history. When I was in high school, world history was over my head, to be honest with you. And world history and world geography. And now I'm a pastor of a church and we have world missions. And I love to put missions across the globe. Amen. But when I was in high school, that was like, phew, world history? Really? I had never been out of my hometown. World geography, what do you mean? And anyway... but this is world history here. This is amazing how he prophesied it, and now we talk about these things in history. It's also a great story about God's help, God's mercy, God's intervention, even nationally, God's intervention here, And it's a great story about answered prayer, and it's a great story about praise and thanksgiving to God, which is what we're kind of focused on this month and started talking about that Sunday morning. He blessed the Lord, and then he said in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee. Have you told the Lord recently, I thank thee and praise thee, O God? I imagine we have. I imagine we've said it very recently. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord, for your involvement and your intervention in national affairs even. I'm saying that. I've been saying thank God. I was praying different yesterday, but I've been praising God today. Amen. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it troubled him. It distressed him. It was one of those dreams that he just couldn't shake, but the problem was he couldn't remember his dream. I'm bad for that. Wake me up out of a good dream, and then I can't. Well, what in the world? And I know there's stuff about that, your sleep cycle and all of that stuff, and deep sleep or whatever, all of that stuff, and it's a sign of something when you can't remember your dream, or you can remember your dream. Am I right about that? But I'm one of those, oftentimes, I don't remember what it was. It was a good one, man, just a minute ago. What was that I was dreaming, you know? Well, he had a dream, and he said it troubled his spirit. It bothered him greatly. And he's like, what was my dream? He got all the magicians, astrologers, all of his wise men, if you will, that advised him and did all the magic in the kingdom and could tell him the future and all this kind of stuff, supposedly. He said, listen, I had a dream. I said, okay, great, king. Glad you had a dream. No, this was a great dream. Okay, glad you had a great dream. No, it was a greatly distressing dream. Oh, well, tell us about it. Well, you see, that's the problem. I want you to tell me what it was. And then I want you to tell me what it means. They're like, wait a minute. We'll have a better chance of telling you what the dream means if you tell us what the dream was. And Nebuchadnezzar, the powerful king, gets angry and says, no, I don't know what it was. I don't remember what it was. You tell me what it was, and you tell me what it meant. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you all. How would you like to work for that king? How would you like to work for that guy? Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what happened? He gave them an impossible task. Whenever he told them, it was very this very unreasonable demand, tell me what I dreamed. Well, we'll help you out. He said, no, you're buying time and you're just going to tell me lies. He said, if you tell me what it was, I'll remember and then I'll know perhaps maybe you got the interpretation right. But if you tell me the interpretation and I still don't remember the dream, so you got to tell me what my dream was. You know, it said down there, the Chaldeans answered him in verse 10 and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Of course, there was a man upon the earth. His name was Daniel, and he could get it from God. Amen? Now, that's the interesting part of this. Daniel was not some satanic-filled astrologer or magician or anything like that, but he was in the realm of the advisors, and guess what? Daniel, it tells us here, in his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that show up in the next chapter in a great way, they're included. This death sentence is upon them too. So Daniel's included, and his three friends are included in this whole situation. So they got them together and told them. Verse 13 there, or look at verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So Daniel's kind of grouped in with this whole thing. Now I want to give you three thoughts tonight about this. And I think you know the story. And we'll kind of go through it as we go. We know that God gave, as we already read, God said that, in verse 19 it said, God revealed it unto Daniel. How? Well, verse 14 says, David answered. Look at verse 15. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Well, that's pretty bold, wasn't it? Daniel said, King, give me a little time. I'll show it to you. And what did he do then? Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And for what? Verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. They went to prayer. Amen. They said, we got to pray about this. They told Daniel, and Daniel said, King, give me a little time. Daniel went home. Apparently, Daniel and these three probably lived together. And so he goes home. He gathers them. He tells them what the deal is. And he says, here's what I need you fellows to do. Pray. Y'all believe in the power of prayer and the power of corporate prayer? Getting a lot of people praying? So he got them. By the way, he didn't go gather those astrologers and magicians. He didn't go gather them up. He gathered three godly men. And he said, I need y'all to pray with me about this. And it wasn't long, he got a night vision himself. And he was told what the dream was, what it meant, and what was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and then some that would follow them. Let me give you three thoughts tonight. Number one tonight, let's say this. Thanksgiving should be our practice. Amen. Thanksgiving should be our practice. Before he even went and talked to the king, he went and told God, thank you for giving me the interpretation. He hadn't even told the king what it is, but he said he blessed the Lord. And in verse 23, I thank thee and I praise thee. I want to tell you, I believe this. I believe it was the habit and the practice of Daniel to praise God and thank God. Because we know this from the book. Daniel was a man of prayer. Right? I mean, they said over in chapter 6, that they wanted to find fault with him. They said, we cannot find fault with this man except it be concerning his God and his prayer life, basically is what they were saying. He ended up in the den of lions because of his prayer life. And I dare say the prayer life that Daniel had those three times a day getting before God, no doubt there was petitions in his prayer life, but no doubt there was praise and thanksgiving in his prayer life, because when he got the answer to this one, that's exactly what he did, was thank God for it. How often do we forget to thank God? We don't forget to say, God, I need you. God, help me. God, here's an issue. But when God answers the prayer, don't forget to praise him and thank him for it. Amen? I believe it was the habit. Thanksgiving should be our practice whenever we go before God. So he prayed and he thanked God for it. Hey, folks, is prayer and praise our practice as well? Prayer probably more so than praise. We need to learn to praise God more, don't you think? Amen. Is God good? Has God been good to us? Has God been good to America? Amen. Has God been good to you? Well, to praise God for his goodness, don't you think? There's so much that you and I can praise God for. There ought to be regular thanksgiving for his goodness and for his help and for his answered prayer, for his national involvement and intervention and blessings upon us. We ought to be thanking God for it. And this was a national crisis. This was a world scene right here. This dream was all about empires. And so it was a world matter right here. God's involved in all of it. God was in control. And God was letting Nebuchadnezzar know he was in control and letting all of us know concerning nations and leaders. And didn't it say right there in verse 21, he changes the times and the seasons? Amen. I'm glad he does. He's consistent and faithful to do that. And he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Y'all believe God can put one in and take one out? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe God has a time for one king and one world leader and a time for another? And God can say, your time is up. But we know this, God's time is never up. God's time is never up. But our time will be up. Some world leader's time will be up. And God can say when that time is up. So we trust God with things. Amen. You know, had the election for us gone the other direction, we may not have been, we would have said, well, I'm a little concerned. But you know what? We still trust God. We've been doing it for years, right? Amen. Been just trusting God for years, right? And praying about the matter. So we continue to trust God. But is it our habit to give thanks to God? Has He had grace upon you and mercy upon you of late? Has He forgiven you of your sin and written your name up in heaven? Has God pardoned you? Has God given you peace? Has God given you help? Has God given you hope? Has God given you some precious promises in His Word? I tell you, we got a lot to praise God for. We got a lot to thank God for. Thanksgiving should be our praise. A foreign missionary received some very sad news from home far, far away. He said, "Deep shadows covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to just endure, but the darkness only deepened." He said, "I went to an inland mission station and I saw a banner on the wall and it said, 'Try Thanksgiving.'" He said, "I did it, and at that moment, the shadow was gone, not to return." And he said, "No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 92:1, 'It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.'" Now, in the Bible, that's true. The Bible says it's a good thing. God says He inhabits the praises of His people. You know, sometimes, folks, and we just put the burdens aside and we count the blessings and we praise God for the many blessings and the varied blessings that we do have, it can lift the burdens, can't it? The blessings can lift the burden. Someone has said this, "A heavy heart is lightened when the weight of ingratitude is lifted." I think there's a lot of truth in that. Is it our practice? Thanksgiving should be our practice. I believe it was his practice. I think it was natural for David, soon as he got the answer, to bless the Lord and to say, I thank thee and praise thee, O God. I think that was an automatic thing for Daniel to say, "Thank you, God. I got to go talk to the king, but first I got to talk to God and say thank you. I got to go tell the king the important matter, and I got to go give him some bad news. And I got to tell him, beyond him, what's going to happen in the world. And God's given it to me. Lord, thank you so much. You've spared my life. You've spared the life of my friends. Because, Lord, you've given me the impossible. No man could do this." And Daniel went in and told him no man could do this. Daniel said, "No man can do this. I cannot do this. But there is a God in heaven." That's what he's talking about when he got to verse 28 there. He was saying, "You've asked something the magicians cannot do. You've asked something I cannot do, but there is a God in heaven." That was more praise of God. He not only had already thanked God privately, he's praising God publicly right there in front of this wicked king of Babylon. He praised God. Amen. That was his habit. Is it our habit? You say, sure, it's our habit every November. Amen. Every November, it's our habit to praise God. It's our habit to say Thanksgiving. At least one time in the year, in November, maybe even a little bit throughout the month. I mean, is it our habit all the time? When God does something, to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord." I think it was his practice. But let me say number two, we can be thankful even with problems. Well, this was a life and death situation. Now, I know he praised God after he got the answer. It was a life and death situation. There was a death sentence upon him. And he hadn't even told the king. The truth of the matter is, he doesn't know how the king's going to receive it. He doesn't know if the king's going to say, "I think you just made all that up. I don't believe that. I don't like that." And kill the messenger, so to speak. He doesn't know how this is going to go. But he's already praising God in the midst of his problem. Do you go ahead and praise God in the midst of your problems sometimes? It was a cruel demand. It was as unreasonable as it gets. It's kind of like Pharaoh saying, "Make more brick, but I'm going to take, you know, the straw away. And you got to add work, but you got to increase production." Kind of that kind of a thing. And this was a mind-reading thing here that they could not do. He faced the death penalty. But what did he do? Verses 17 and 18, I already read it. He gathered his friends. We know Daniel prayed in private. We see it in the book, right? Daniel was a man of private prayer. But Daniel was a man that believed, he believed in the power of prayer. He believed in the power of private prayer. He believed in the power of public prayer. Getting other people together. I say, he didn't go to the magicians. He didn't go get that crowd who was had the death sentence upon him, because he knew that's not a praying crowd. They don't get their answers from God Almighty. He said, I know there's a God in heaven, but I know where they get their answers from, and I don't want nothing to do with their answers. You know, folks, this world doesn't encourage us. This world is not for us. This world is not with us. But you know what? You can get together, folks. You can get together. You probably have some friends you can pray with like he did. You probably have some family you can pray with. Thank God for it. But I tell you what, you got a church you can pray with too. You got a church where you can fill out that little form and say, put me or put this need or put this individual, put this friend or this family member on the church prayer list. Because we believe in the power of prayer, of private prayer, but also corporate and public prayer. Amen? Amen. What are you doing? Do we sometimes have some praise items as well? Rachel, I got a prayer request. I got a prayer need. I like it whenever somebody says, I got praise. Amen, right? Sometimes somebody will pray. They'll pray about all the problems that have been mentioned in prayer meeting. And also say, thank you, God, for what you're going to do. You can praise God in your problems, with your problems, during your problems. I think Daniel did that. I think he was a man who it was his practice. It was his habit. Even in times when things were not so certain. I say again, it looks to me like they lived together. It says he went home and he talked to them. I don't know what their arrangement was, but I do know this. Those three Hebrew children, boys, young men, those three Hebrews and Daniel were pretty tight. You ought to hang out with the right kind of people, amen? Your church folks, godly people, they'll help you, they'll encourage you, they'll love you, they'll support you, they'll pray with you and for you. Right? You say, this is my crowd right here. Amen? Church people, my church family, God-fearing people. You know, I was asking a little bit ago what was the percentage. I've always said, you know, 50% of America, 51 is okay or either crazy. You know, 49% is the other way, right? So anyway, it's a shame we're like that. But I'm glad there's always a remnant of God's people on the earth. Amen. Until Jesus comes, there's always a remnant. Elijah said, I'm alone. I'm all by myself. He said, no. There's some more of them you don't even know about, Elijah. You're not by yourself. The Lord has a remnant. The Lord has a, might be a small crowd, but I tell you, that's the crowd I want to be with. That's the crowd I want to hang out with. That's the crowd that will encourage you. This world, Babylon didn't encourage them. They didn't get any encouragement from Nebuchadnezzar or those magicians and astrologers. They didn't get any encouragement from being in Babylon, being in the world. This world is not here to encourage us. In fact, this world is not our home. We know where our home is. It's up there in heaven. This world thinks according to sinfulness. This world, you say, why do people think like they do? Because they're not in the Word of God. And you are. That's going to make you different, right? If you go with the Word, you're going to be different from the world. We know this. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You believe that? You do believe that, don't you? Did you ever say to your kids, don't hang out with that boy, don't hang out with that girl, don't hang out with that crowd? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, he hung out with some good people. Good people have problems and they need to stick together. That's my point, by the way. You can praise God and thank God even with problems, and you can find other Christian people. And you know what you're going to find when you find other Christian people? You're going to find other people with problems. You can all pray together and praise together, right? And thank God for His goodness to us. Be not conformed to this world. Isn't that plain in the Bible? Don't copy them. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What am I saying? I'm saying you think different. You take your problems to God and you praise God for what He's going to do with your problems. And that's exactly what he did. Now, again, in verses 27 through 30, he went to the king. But before that, he had already thanked God. Verses 24 through 27, he goes in, talks to the king, and begins to explain things to the king there in verse 31 on down there. He starts to do this. Some very good stuff there. I just don't have time to get into it all. But back to verse 23, he had already told God, I thank thee and praise thee. Before going to the king, he thanked the King of Kings. What is that? That's a priority. That's a priority. What's the priority? God first. What's the priority there? Well, what's the priority? God first and thanksgiving to God first before I even go handle this business. I got to go to God. I got to talk to God. I got to pray to God. I got to hear from God. And I got to thank God and praise God. And then I'll, King, I'll get to you in a moment. I'm praising God right now. He's already told me what you want to hear. And I'll get to you in a little bit. But right now, let me thank God for it. Amen. King's like, you get over here right now if you've got something. Oh, I got something, but let me thank God first. It's a little bit of, paraphrasing there, I guess. But it was his priority is what I'm trying to say. Was to get with God, the King of Kings, and thank him before he even went to the king. Now, how many people would have got the answer and ran to the king right away? Honestly, I think a lot of people, maybe a lot of us. Night vision. Here's the meaning. Here's the dream. Here's the meaning. Okay, trying to remember all this. I need to get to the king right now so I can remember all this. Lord, help me to remember all this so I can go tell him. And he's like, no. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this vision tonight. Praise your name. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many would have got it and ran to the king and forgot to thank God? How many of us sometimes pray for things? In our problems, we'll pray for things. In our troubles, we'll pray for things. Let's please be in the habit of thanking the Lord. Praising him for what he's done, even in our problems. Remember Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Amen. All things. Always, all things. Thank God for it. He might utter a prayer and say, Lord, I hope the king will accept this vision. I hope the king won't kill the messenger because it doesn't sound real good. I don't know if he uttered that prayer or not, but I do know he said, thank you, Lord, for telling me about it. Thank you, Lord, for doing the impossible. Thank you, Lord, for this miracle. Because no man could do this. Nobody could tell the king this without you first letting us know. Verse 27, look there. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king. Amen. So he praised God before he went to the king, and then he praised God when he got to the king. He praised God in the midst of his problem is what I'm trying to say. Let me go to number three. Number three tonight is this. Thanksgiving produces good things. Produces good things. Well, he thanked God for giving him this. Were lives saved? Yes. Was scripture and prophecy validated throughout all this? Is that something he could have praised God for? God gave him prophecy and it was going to be validated there. Nebuchadnezzar learned the greatness of God. Amen, right? Good things were coming out of this. Lives are saved. Nebuchadnezzar's learning about God. Scripture and prophecy will be validated because this will become world history, and we all look back on it now and say, wow. But I'll tell you another good thing that was produced. Those three Hebrew friends, don't forget about them. You know, I think they were inspired by Daniel and his example. You know, in the next chapter, they stood up when the king said, bow down. Right? And Daniel wasn't even there. We don't read about Daniel in that case, right? But I believe Daniel was there in the sense that his influence was upon those three. And I think they stood there and they say, you know what God, what Daniel would do? Daniel would stand and he'd give praise to God, not some idol. We've already seen Daniel pray. We've already seen Daniel praise God. And we've already been around Daniel. We've already been influenced by Daniel. And Daniel may not be here, but Daniel's influence and example is here. I think they were inspired. Are you inspired by people like Daniel?
I am.
Does that inspire you to say, hey, what would he do? What would brother so-and-so do? What would pastor so-and-so do? What would sister so-and-so do? And that inspires you. I think I know what they would do. They would stand for God. They'd stand against the king. And they'd praise God and not some idol. That's what I'm going to do. I think it produced something in them. Because they're mentioned here. And then they got their big story in the next chapter. I think that's pretty good. Amen. I think Daniel was their inspiration. Because they saw this. They learned from Daniel to love God. Trust God. Pray to God. Stand for God, be true to God, thank God, praise God, and nobody else, and nothing else, right? They got that from him. Someone has said it like this, if Christians praise God more, others would learn to doubt him less. You think that's true? If Christians would learn to praise God more, others would learn to doubt him less. I'll tell you folks, and when we as Christians are always down in the mouth about how bad it is, how bad the world is, how much persecution we have, and how many burdens we have, and they never hear us praise God, they're not going to have a whole lot of faith in God, right? But you get around somebody like Daniel, boy, that'll bolster your faith then. That'll produce good things in you. That'll encourage you to do something, right? I think it's true. If we'll praise God more, the world will learn to doubt him less. They'll hear the stories, they'll hear the testimonies, they'll see the joy, and they'll be able to say, hey, there is a God in heaven. They told us so, and we see him working. Amen? When God, thank God when he intervenes. Thank God when he intervenes. Thank God when he steps into a bad situation that you've been praying about. Thank God whenever you're in a predicament like Daniel was, thank God when God steps in. Thank God when he gives you a word. Thank God when he gives you a friend. Thank God when he gives you some relief and God gives you some light at the end of the tunnel. You're in a trouble. You're in a trial. It might be a health crisis or whatever it might be. And you're just trusting God. Go ahead in the midst of it and praise God for what you believe he's going to do. It'll bless your heart and it will inspire somebody else. That's why we have stories like Joseph and Job and Daniel in the Bible. It admonishes us. It admonishes those three Hebrew young men. And it will us as well. Thank God when he steps in, when he intervenes, when he helps, when he gets involved. Amen? Have you been thanking God lately? Let's keep doing it. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Thank God. I tell you, he's good to us, folks. He's good to us. Thank God. Dear Father,